This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brule, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. The Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems. Welcome to The Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brule, sitting here with Mr. Hollywood, as always. How are you, brother?
This week's word is content.
Oh, I thought you were going to say scared.
Scared. No, I caught up. Caught scared. Up on what I need, so that's we're all
good.
Right.
That's good. You looked really scared the other day.
I was.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, we won't even get into to why.
Yeah.
It involves spreadsheets and hours of staring at spreadsheets.
Numbers.
So if you can imagine how painful that is.
I don't know how you guys do it with your video stuff, but same thing.
I do a little bit of editing myself, and I would much rather do that than
numbers,
edit spreadsheets. Oh, yuck. I'm glad that's your job and not mine. Although, it is mine. Now I'm doing my own spreadsheet now.
Yeah, have fun.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. You can find the video version of this episode on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel, so make sure you head on over, give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. And, of course, if you're listening, give us a rating and a review. Only 5 stars will do. So today we have a very special guest. He drove in from Montana a couple of days ago, and I've seen him out in the social media world and seen some of the stuff come through, but finally had an opportunity to meet him. He's here with Damon Wolf of All for One Creative, who is also in the studio with us today. And these guys are doing some turkey hunting, and we could maybe call this the Turkey Struggle Bus Part 2 from last year. No, actually, it was 2 years ago now. I think we did that episode.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, but these guys have been getting at it, getting out doing some turkey hunting. And so, Joey, I just want to give you an opportunity to kind of introduce yourself to our listeners. Yeah. You know, just talk about, you know, your origin story when it comes to archery or just hunting in general, and then tell us kind of what you do for your day-to-day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, by the way. And Joey Visser from Helena, Montana, born and raised. I went to a little small town school, hunted my whole life, you know, kind of the more of the rifle type thing, you know, not really into the archery world until I got a little bit older, that timber hunting, mm-hmm. low power scopes, mm-hmm. Round nose bullets.
That's kind of standard.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah, that's just what my family did. And, you know, growing up, I remember my dad doing a little bit of archery hunting as I was growing up, but never really. I was always doing sports. It was hard for me to be on that side of things. So I had basketball, football, track, all that kind of stuff. So I think as I got to be about 13, 14 years old, started to get into it a little bit. One of my good buddies, Cade Cote, he kind of introduced me into it big time. And then I was like, all right, I could get on board with this. This is super fun. Started hitting it pretty hard. And then it just kind of took off. You know, I went to play college football for a little bit, dropped out, because I was only able to hunt for like 3 times that whole semester. And I was like, all right, you know what? This isn't this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up dropping out of college and just started making videos and, you know, met a lot of people through social media and, you know, very blessed to have met the people that I have. And I'm very happy with the people I work with and, you know, blessed and fortunate enough to have met you guys, met Damon, you guys as well, and now being on the podcast. And it's kind of, it's slowly but surely making its way to where, you know, I'm doing what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And, yeah, just feel very blessed to where I started out and where I'm at now and the journey it's been. I couldn't ask for anything else.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Good for you. So yeah, you're getting at it pretty heavy, you know, and it's funny because I do another podcast with my friend Rick Hansen, and I met him through a couple other things, but I first met him in person at what is called Bowcast at the Bird, which then eventually evolved into Total Archery Challenge. So that's where I met him. And so we have a ton of conversations with people that we've met at the Total Archery Challenge. It's just wild how many relationships are established there. Hollywood's never established a relationship at a TAC because he's never been to one.
Nope.
And for some reason doesn't want to go to one.
He's 9 hours for foam.
Anti-TAC.
A couple hundred bucks I could put into points. It's my excuse every time.
I'll get you to go one of these days. But, so that's cool. That's where you were at TAC in South Dakota.
Yeah, South Dakota TAC with Scree Gear. I was working with them at Terry Peaks and saw Griffin and Damon over in the corner, and I was just kind of chilling. I was like, you know, I'll go talk to the boys. They look pretty cool. And now look where we're at, you know, now I'm hunting turkeys with them.
Yeah.
With them both filming a video for Dialed. And yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So speaking of your turkey hunt, let's talk a little bit about that as turkey hunting goes. But yeah, just kind of tell us. So, well, let's start with your turkey setup. Let's go into that. So let's talk about the bow you're using and the arrow setup and why you chose to go with that.
All right. So I'm shooting the Darton Sequel ST2 33-inch axle to axle. It's a 70 to 80 pound limbs, but I got her down to about 65, 66. We were able to do that, untwisting the strings and whatnot. Shooting that bow because one, I'm sponsored, quote unquote sponsored by them. They sent me that new bow and I ended up shooting quite a few different ones this last year because I was never sponsored by a company. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed with how the Darton shot. Very impressed. Super dead in the hand. Smoothest draw cycle I've ever drawn on a bow, personally. And absolutely love it. Shooting the Conquest Rampages, Black Eagle. They're amazing. The Black Eagle Rampages, they're amazing arrows. 5mm because I do like to use the lighted nocks. I'm going to do that for shots this year for videography purposes, right? Great arrow. I'm shooting the Rip TKO B-Reel Edition for the decap broadhead.
Yeah.
Damon got those for us for the turkey hunt. But, yeah, you shoot the Dialed, Proof Sight, 3-pin, H-Mag, horizontal. I've used to shoot 3-pin back in the day before I started shooting Dialed. Mm-hmm. And I just personally love the 3-pins on it. I like it a lot. And shooting the Proof, amazing sight. We all know that. For backup broadheads, shooting the Mega Meats, and then we're shooting those. I don't know how long are they, Damon? Those,
the broadheads.
Yeah,
they're 4-inch cut, I believe.
4-inch cut,
125 grain.
Yeah, decap broadheads. Yeah. And I had never shot those before. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fun. I enjoy doing it, getting her down and then with the pillows and whatnot. It was a blast. But yeah,
it's really it really kind of shows you a different element of, you know, just how delicate wind and certain things can be when you basically, for the lack of a better word, put a wind sail on the front of your arrow.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why I met you. We were at Damon's house shooting it, and we had a little bit of trouble getting her set up, and Damon's like, I know who to call.
Yeah.
I need to just start buying pillows in bulk, like, come spring. We're on my third pillow
of the trip, and I've been here for
their Walmart special $5 ones.
$5, that's not too bad.
No,
but the jeans work pretty good too if you can find some people trying to get rid of blue jeans.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even
hang a pair of jeans.
They work good. Yeah,
we have to do that next year.
Yeah, that's gonna be.
But and then you can draw really crude looking turkeys on them.
Soon to come.
That's a cool setup, there's a lot of people switching over to Darton that we've noticed, and it was kind of a pleasure to kind of play around with that bow when you had it in here because I got to mess around with the tuning system they have on the limb pockets. Do you know what that's called, Hollywood?
I don't. I was just going to ask you if you didn't.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know, but we installed a PXI on your bow. And then when I was kind of trying to, when I was trying to paper tune it, I was having a tough time getting it. You know, it's one of those deals where you're moving your rest around, but it still doesn't, nothing changes. And you're like, okay, what else is going on here? So set the center shot and then noticed.
And then I mentioned it.
Yeah. And I'm looking at them. And then you saw me looking at them. You're like, oh yeah, dude, that's another way that you can tune the bow. And so this is, you know, I don't know if I've ever worked on a dart. And I mean, at least in the last probably decade. So, and it's nothing against them. It's just, we don't have a lot of them around here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple come.
Well, and I feel like they're trying to make their comeback right now. Not quote unquote comeback, but in the hunting world.
Yeah.
Besides of target 100%. Archery. I think they're making a great product now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's kind of why I feel like they haven't really been out as much as, you know, other bow brands have.
Yeah. And it is funny how like some area, you know, certain geographical locations, you know, bow manufacturers kind of have a grip on certain areas, right? And so again, it's not to say that nobody around here shoots them. It's just, you know, I just hadn't seen a lot of them, but it's a really cool system. I like the way that it works. It was really pretty simple.
Yeah, once we found that out, it went really smoothly.
Yeah,
right when we got that to two, three arrows, and it was perfect.
Yep. And then it was good. And then the only issue that we kind of ran into was with that full length RIP TKO with 125 point in front of it. For whatever reason, that arrow was, you know, it was flexing a little bit too much, and you were getting some vein contact on the cage. Mm-hmm. So we pulled the cage off. But with your other arrows, you weren't getting that contact.
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
But again, that's something that
different setups,
it's
different bows.
It's a wonky, that full length 300 spine RIP TKO is not a real world situation. It's very specific to turkey hunting. Absolutely. With a Magnus bullhead. So, and you're shooting short distance anyways, like you were sighted in at 10 yards,
10 yards.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and we got it dialed in where you were smoking that thing. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. I was excited to see when Joey came in with that Darton, just cause again, you never see him.
Right.
I had just shot one, like, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then I saw you walk in. I'm like, no way, like, here we are. Like, that thing is a nice bow.
It is
like
nice.
If we could sell them in our shop here, I would.
Right.
Like, and just I get so geeked up. I might have said that, like, when I see tuning features on a bow, everything else out the window. I mean, honestly, it could vibrate like crazy as long as I can still tune everything else. Like, I love it.
Yeah, we didn't have to touch the timing, but it has that timing.
Yep.
Or on the yoke.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I haven't even touched that once yet. Mm-hmm. It's been in time, but I'm sure once the string stretches, it'll start. We'll have to start doing a little bit.
Yeah.
It may
get to that point. I mean, as long as you should be fine, as long as you don't have gas bow strings on there, should be okay.
Shots fired.
Damn. I'll just get some VT strings on there.
Yeah, man. You let us know. We'll get you taken care of. Obviously now is not the time to be swapping strings.
Screw it. Let's just go get them right now.
You know, we got you. We got your back. So now, today was morning two, hunt.
Yep.
And Damon got some pretty incredible footage.
Amazing footage.
What is that lens you're using?
It was a 200 to 600. It's actually Joey's lens. He brought it from all the way from Montana for me to shoot with. And it's been, I'm going to be honest, the weight and how much of a hassle it is, when you get the shot, it all makes up for that, because when you're carrying it in the backpack and when you have to set it up on a tripod and like, it's heavy and hard, kind of hard to use. But when you get a shot of a turkey blinking its eye at 8 yards, at 600 millimeter, it kind of makes up for,
as Damon's been saying, he was getting some Nat Geo.
Yeah. I mean, opening day for us was like a National Geographic like trip.
Really?
Yeah. Awesome. We have some behind the scenes footage where I felt like a little safari man out there.
When listeners, you guys, whatever, when you guys see the footage, like, it's actually unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal. I'm very excited to have him color grade and do whatever else Damon Wolf does to footage, because I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, that photo you sent me, it looks like that bird's like in the middle of a gobble.
Yeah. Yeah, we have probably 800 photos like that.
Yeah. it's super detailed.
Yeah, we have photos of the turkey behind the tree gobbling, photos of the turkey in the foreground with the decoy in front, photos of the turkey on a branch.
I guess, like, we can kind of drop into the whole situation of the day then too, if you want to go into that. Or
yeah, absolutely. I mean, as turkey hunting goes, you know, we just like to be on the upfront about kind of how it is, and everybody I think can relate, because I've said this before, aside from raising kids, it's the most difficult thing I've ever done with a bow.
Yes.
Right.
And so let's talk about that a little bit.
Just so yeah, I'd never turkey hunted before this trip, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just never was really a big spring hunter, and now bear hunting, I can confidently say it's my favorite animal hunt, which is mm-hmm. a hot take, but I absolutely love it. Only my second year doing it, but you know, Damon had brought this up a couple months ago that we could potentially film a video with Dialed for the turkey hunt in Minnesota. And I was like, you know what? Absolutely. I haven't seen you guys in like almost a year anyway. Like, mm-hmm. let's get together. Let's film a video. Have a great time.
Yeah.
And he ended up talking about the setups. We're going to do decaps. And I started getting pretty fired up, you know, watching the typical YouTube videos, people decapping the mm-hmm. turkeys and whatnot. And so I left, was it 3 or 4 days ago? I had a 16.5-hour drive. I didn't do it all in one day. I split it up into half a day, and then I did pretty much an entire day, 13.5 hours. Got here. That whole next day, I was pretty tired. Like, I had drove into Nebraska with Griffin, but I don't think it was that far. And, like, when you sit in a car for 13 hours straight, like, I didn't realize how much you're just, like, absolutely dead from it, especially by yourself. You're not talking to anybody. You just whatever, have a radio on, podcast, whatever. Mm-hmm. It is draining, like very, very mentally draining. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we got here. We hung out that whole next day, did a little bit of scouting, got the bow tuned up. That's when I met you. We had to bring the bow in, get it extra dialed, tuned and whatnot with that decap on there. And we went and did some roosting the night before opening day. And we didn't really see much, did we? We didn't really get into much.
No, I mean, we'd see birds, like, in fields, you know, hanging out. But a lot of the fields you can't hunt, and a lot of it, we're working with a lot of small pieces of ground. So, we didn't see many birds.
Yeah, we didn't.
Quick answer, yeah.
Yeah, but we did have a good friend of ours in here, Daryl. He gave us some pretty good information, which didn't end up working out, but that's okay. We went to a spot opening morning with Damon Griffin and I, and it didn't end up working out. We didn't see a bird, heard a couple gobbles, whatever. Griff went to work. We went to a different spot that we had went in the night before and heard quite a few gobbles.
Yeah, so actually
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. So we, after talking to Daryl, I had planned on doing the first spot as like our plan A because of the consistency of what this bird is doing,
right?
Almost parroting it like a whitetail. And then I have like this plan B or C spot because I've hunted it the last few years, and like I've gotten birds to gobble, I've gotten jakes to like come into the setup, and I never, out of all the places I've scouted this spring, I hadn't scouted that place at all. So I was like, well, since, you know, since we have a plan locked in for the morning, we have some time before roost, like, let's just go to this spot and do some calling. And we get in there, and I get up on this little knob, and I go, yup, 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 and they fire off.
Immediately.
And then that was his first gobble he's ever heard, like an Eastern in Minnesota gobble, because we hadn't heard him gobble, like, since he's been here.
Right.
And then they got a little bit closer, and then I kept yelping, and then all of a sudden a hen is probably within like 60, 70 yards, like just over the hill, and the toms are like coming in to the call because the hen's coming into me and the toms are coming with, and I'm like, all right, this is when we skedaddle and then know this is here. So if the more A spot doesn't work out, we can come here as like a B spot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we went and hunted the morning. I had high confidence going to where we were going in the morning. Just with like the information we had heard and found out. And then like about like 8:30, I was like, okay, this isn't working. And then Griffin had to go to work, so we dropped our kid off at school. We dropped him off, and it's opening day, right? Like, you're excited to turkey hunt. Like, I wasn't going to go home and like
hunt all day.
Yeah. I wasn't going to go home and like take a nap or do whatever. Like, we have to hunt pretty hard since it's opening day. And, we get out, and I didn't have a blind set up. I didn't have a camera set up. I didn't have anything set up because it was my plan, like C or D spot. Mm-hmm. And so we had to carry the blind in, two chairs, tripod for the lens, camera bags, decoys, like, and everything, bow. Right? So we're like, we just look like freaking Michelin men, you know, in the turkey outfit.
Mules walking out there.
Yeah. Luckily, it's not a far walk, but we get out there, get the blind set up, get the decoys out. And yeah, once we got like all settled in the lens, like all dialed in, because that takes like 20 minutes itself, I do my first calling sequence and they fire off. Like, you should tell the rest of the story because you're the hunter. Or do you want me to keep going?
I mean, we can just bounce back and forth. Yeah, they fired off like 500 yards, like right away.
Yeah.
And, you know, 500 turned into 400. 400 turned into 250. This was all within a span of 15 minutes, right? They were slowly meandering their way over. And then 250 turned into 150. And then it turned into 50 within like 5 minutes. So they started making their way pretty quick.
And then when I heard them fire off at 50, just based off like our decoys being at 10 and then judging the distance to like where we can see and can't see visually out of the blind, I figured that the birds were within 10 to 15 yards of like us being able to visually see them. So that's when I pressed record on the camera, both camera setups, and then grabbed my binos because I wanted to like, cause we're in thick timber. We're not in a field. We're in like super thick timber. We could barely even get 10 yards at a decoy.
Yeah.
Because it's that thick. And once we set the blind up, we're in front, you know, trying to break, you know, branches in front of where we had the decoy set up, not anywhere else. And we'll get to that. But breaking branches off and whatnot. And I have my binos up and I remember I just see the redhead pop up over the hill and it's looking, and I see another redhead pop up over the hill and it's looking, and I'm in my, you know, I'm in the Sig binos and one handed stabilization. We don't need to go there, but it's pretty freaking cool.
Smooth plug.
So I'm like, you know, grabbing focus and looking through my optics cause Sig's the best.
go Sig,
go Sig. And then all of a sudden I, you know, cause they're looking because they hear this hen yelping and they're looking, and all of a sudden I see the one, cause I'm waiting for him to see it. Cause I know once he sees it, he's gonna, you know, do his shit. And, all of a sudden he stops, looks, does his shit. And then, they just both start kind of waddling in. And that's when I stopped calling. I was like, all right, Joey, grab your bow.
No, we got to go into Damon's. Just a bird. It's just a bird.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So, okay. So all we were pretty excited when we were hearing the gobbles and stuff. And as soon as we saw them, we both like looked at each other and we're just like instantly like,
oh, yeah, you guys are like doing this yeah. whole like, yeah, we got this probably.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So like we're both shaking and I look at him and he's breathing heavily and I'm breathing heavily. And like I'm trying to like get focused, but I can barely like move my hand.
Parkinson's going
yeah,
on over there.
I can barely move my hand, and they're coming in. And as they're coming in, I'm whispering to Joey like, "It's just a bird. It's just a bird. It's just a bird. It's just a bird. It's just a bird." Because that's what I tell myself when a turkey's coming in. Because what happens to me is you see him fanned up, you see him coming in. But then once you tell yourself like it's just a bird, and I hate saying it's just a bird because it's not just a bird. In reality, it like means a lot to us hunting them.
Right, but, I'll get into that.
But I have to say it's just a bird, else I will literally lose my shit. and then the way our setup was is our decoys were right in front of us, and where they're coming from, I mean, as soon as they see the decoys, they're staring straight into the blind, right? And this blind isn't big. We have a giant white lens. I tried covering it up with the Sitka jacket and tried like, you know, making it work. We had black on, but you know, we weren't as hidden as like I wanted to be just because how quick we had to set up. And they're coming in, so I'm whispering, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move, don't move. And I say that a lot, mainly because I realize I vocally say what I'm telling myself to do because I don't want to fuck this up. And yeah, you can tell the rest.
Yeah. So, I mean, like Damon was saying, within a matter of them seeing the decoy to when they were on top of us was probably 10, 15 seconds. Like they came textbook. Like you couldn't have written it up any better at all. And so I'll just say the whole story and then I'll say what I should have done, right? So they come in and immediately fan up, and we thought they were going to start hammering the decoys. Like their behavior before they got to the decoys was like, dude, they're going to peck at it. They're going to flop at it, do whatever they do. And they didn't end up doing that, but they were just kind of meandering around it a little bit. I don't know if they were sketch at all. They didn't seem like it.
I think part of it was like, I think a huge part of it is the decoys are in front of us. I think if they'd be coming from the side, they would have gotten a little tighter. And our decoys weren't at the 10, you know, 10 to 12 yard mark that we wanted them to be at. They were at like 7 or 8 because of how thick it was.
Yeah, there is no way we could have gotten the decoys any farther away from us without completely changing up our setup, right? Mm-hmm. So both birds get in there, and there was these two trees that were right kind of to my left a little bit, more to the left of Damon because he's on the right side of me. And I'll just say this now. Hindsight, I should have drawn when they were behind those trees, right? Cause, but we were expecting them to get to the decoys, kind of do their thing, beat at it, spin away to where when they spin away, butts to us, then I can draw and then be ready for when they turn, right? That's what you always want to do. Mm-hmm. And they kind of chilled there for a little bit. They never really gave me an opportunity to draw back. And then they didn't like bust at all, but they were low key like going left, like just kind of moving out of there. What is what it looked like.
Yeah.
They just started kind of going. They weren't fanned anymore. So you're like, oh no, like we're going to have to try like panic mode. We got to make something happen right now. Well, right.
And so in typical turkey fashion, like in past since I've been on, they either come in and they beat it up or they come in close enough and then they don't like something and then they leave. Right. So in my head, I'm like, okay, they're coming in. And then once they didn't beat it up and they started getting out of there, I was like, this is like our shot. Like we have this moment to shoot this bird. And now looking back, I mean, we had an hour to shoot.
Yeah, let's get into that. So went left and they were just kind of, we couldn't see them for like what, 3 minutes. They were kind of behind the big oak tree, or if it's an oak tree, I don't know.
I could see like tail feathers kind of behind the tree, and the tree's at like 8 to 9 yards.
So one bird stays behind the tree completely. We couldn't see it for the next few minutes, whatever I said. And then the other bird comes out and just is kind of facing away from us, but head's kind of like turning back, going back and forth, I think looking at us with that single eye. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Damon, can you get that? And Damon was not able to see the bird with where the tripod was at originally. So he had to like lean over.
Yeah. The camera was like this, leaning
over on the tripod. And I was in the middle window and I had to totally like pick up bow, lean back and like get my broadhead outside the other small window. Mm. And then I was like, okay, Damon, you good? You good? I draw back. And as I draw back, like I said, Damon, you on him. And I definitely like, I wasn't in a rush, but I was definitely like, oh, okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. So like I'm on turkey, right? On turkey's brains, because he was facing away and I didn't have that frontal like I really wanted, right? Like we all want if we're trying to decap a turkey.
Right.
And I draw on him and I'm like, Damon, you got him? He said yes. And then it just went off. And Damon has a photo we showed you guys. I mean, the broadhead, decap broadhead, 4-inch cut diameter, whatever, was I literally think I trimmed the hair on its chin or on the snoot. Gosh. Like it, I definitely missed left, and it was, I'll say it's probably me, right? I was shaken up, and I'll get into that in 1 second. I missed the turkey, moral of the story. And they just stood there. I shot, like missed it by a hair on its chin, and they just stood there. 5 seconds later, bird gobbles, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And they were gobbling again.
The bird jumps probably 2 feet, struts again, and starts gobbling.
And this is at 12 yards, so and I'm not saying that.
I want to mention, Joey, like the look on your and I face, our both of our faces, when we saw that thing strut and gobble, and I remember this actually. After you missed, I like looked in the blind to like see if we had something to take that turkey's life away, because when that shot fired and I didn't see the bird drop, I was like, oh shit, like we.
Well, we haven't even said this.
One arrow. Where the other arrows are. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we're at the truck where his arrows are at before the hunt, and he goes, do you think I'm going to need more? And this is on me, and there's a couple parts of the story. I didn't bring mega meats for him to shoot, so he only had field points on his arrows in his quiver. But now looking back at it, it's almost like a headshot with a field point might be a little better.
I would never go for a body shot, right? Because you hit a body shot on a turkey with a field point, find that thing 3 days later dead. But
in reality, even if I would have known he had field points, we probably wouldn't have brought the arrows with just field points. But I remember saying like, oh no, we won't need more than one arrow. Mm-hmm. And God really just kicked me in the ass on that one. because it was, I remember like when you missed, I was like, oh shit, we have no more arrows and these birds aren't leaving, you know, because normally you miss and they're like puck, 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 and they walk off and you're like, damn, I missed. But you know, they're gone.
He started strutting about 10 seconds,
you know,
later.
We missed, that sucks, but they're gone, we can't do anything about it now. But it, now it's like, oh no, you know.
Right, one more thing before we go into the whole Nat Geo thing that happened to us after this point in time. those birds were coming in, right? And you know how, like, when you're shooting in the blind, you got to sit kind of sideways, right? And so, I mean, if you're looking out front, your neck's kinked. My artery must have been cut off or something. And I was super hyperventilating, mm-hmm. like, just fired up. I wasn't that fired up when I shot my antelope buck last year, my mule deer buck last year, like, not even close. So when people say it's just a bird, I want you to experience. I want you to experience what you experience, and I promise you'll be addicted.
Turkeys change your mind. It's I'm only, like, crazy. I think 4 years into it, and it's fun.
I can confidently say after this one trip, I'll be turkey hunting in the spring the rest of my life.
Yeah. Do it.
After just that one experience, I will do it for the rest of my life. So, mm-hmm. so anyways, they were coming in. I'm hyperventilating. Neck's kinked. I think my artery was cut off, whatever. And, like, all of a sudden, my vision is just, like, going black. I'm like, whoa, dude. As the turkeys are at, like, 15 to 20 yards, my vision's, like, going, like, spotty black. And I'm like, dude, what is going on right now? So I had to, like, look over, and I'm like, or, like, dude, chill. I can feel my heart beating out of my chest, right? And as they're just slowly coming in, I'm seeing black spots, and then it goes black, and then I can see black, and then I can see. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to be able to shoot this turkey right now. So I took a second to, like, dude, you got to chill out. Because in my mind at that point, I was like, okay, bro, it's just a bird. Just a bird. As Damon was saying.
And I'm saying it a million times, too. Just a bird. Just a bird. It's not, but it is.
So I take deep breaths, and then that whole thing happens. I had to throw that in there, the fact that I almost passed out over a turkey.
Well, and the other part of it, too, like, when they're gobbling, you know, that when you were saying the 500, 200, like, it feels like an eternity. Dude. Like, time just slows down, even when you do make your first contact. Like, when you see their head, it's like, oh, man, like, this, it takes forever. But then when you look back, like, I have a video like that, too, on my first bird, and it was, I think, only 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that was 50 minutes in my head. It's just crazy. They closed that gap so fast.
They went, I would say, I don't know the specific time, but from when we heard the first gobble at, like, 400 or 500 yards to where they were at 8 or, like, 10, it couldn't have been more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, 400. And going into that National Geographic segment,
talk about that now.
So, like, as these two birds are coming to us and we're seeing them, right? These birds are gobbling, and as they're gobbling, more are gobbling. So there's, like, two more birds that are gobbling behind them. There's another bird to our west gobbling. So, like, we don't just have these two birds in our setup right now. We have, like, three more coming to the gobblers that we have in our setup currently. So that's where it gets to the National Geographic segment, is when he missed the bird and they started hanging out again and we had no way to kill them. I was like, okay, we might as well use this situation to get, like, some of the best turkey footage that I will ever, not ever, but maybe, who knows, that I currently have. So these strutters are, like, doing their thing. And now looking back, like, as far as, like, hunting pressure goes, like, we over pressured them to the max. I mean, these birds are 10 yards away and I'm calling probably every 10 seconds to be real, because what was happening is I'd, like, get a cool frame on my camera and I'm like, yelp, 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 to get, like, the gobbling shot, you know? Click it, you know, click the button, and then they move a little bit and he's facing away and then he fans down and I'm like, oh, he's facing away. It'd be cool to get a shot of him gobbling facing away. Yelp, yelp, yelp. And then he gobbles. So looking at it now, I mean, that spot's ruined probably for the next few days.
I will say I think it's worth it.
That's the thing with turkeys. Who knows? But, like, looking back at the footage and, like, just seeing how many gobbling shots I have, it's like, holy cow. We call a lot, but we have footage of the fan gobbling, strutting. I even got, like, tight on their head as they're doing the, you know,
blinking.
Yeah, I got, like, slow-mo of them blinking. I have shots. What's that? What do they call it when they, like, go like that thing? Yeah, I got drumming and spitting.
Yeah.
I have, like, the one, like, you know, plucking its feathers with its beak. I have one, like, shaking and, like, getting the feathers
coming
rolling
from
off.
Small to full strut.
Yeah, and then
slow-mo.
And, like, and then they move off a little bit, so I get, like, a little bit wide. I got a panning shot of, like, the AVNX decoys and the Tom, like, full strut behind it, like, just moving around. And then they, like, worked off and I got footage, like, of them at 50 yards, you know, gobbling, like, through, like, the trees in the foreground. It was
incredible.
I mean, I looking back at the SD card, I think I had, like, 1800 pieces of content with these turkeys
within an hour.
Yeah, so he and I feel bad because I was so happy and you were so mad. So it was like
painful, man.
Because going, you know, because I didn't have a bow. So going, well, and now looking back, it's like I should have brought my bow, because even if, you know, he missed with his one arrow, then I would have been able to kill one or whatnot. And then I was like thinking about it, and like if he did hit it, right, we probably would have gotten out of the blind, pushed the birds away, and we would have gotten some cool clips, but not as many as we ended up getting. Mm-hmm. So either situations is good. Clearly he drove a long ways. We want him to kill one, and that's the ideal situation. But I still look at it as like a very cool opportunity. And I, that's what I had to say after. I was like, you missed. I know you're frustrated, but like, look at what we just experienced together.
Yeah.
You know, like we're sad because we didn't kill one, but like what we experienced is also like what I try and tell non-hunters why we do it. Because we killed one, but we were both smiling ear to ear, or we didn't kill
one.
We didn't kill one, but we were smiling ear to ear. I'm like, Joey, like that, like situation, like is like the quote unquote, like, it's not just for the kill experience. And of course we'd like to kill, but,
turkey hunters dream to be able to see that and experience that.
Yeah. And as like a photographer and video creator, like you dream of that stuff. Like you scroll Instagram and you see like people getting the shots of the bird gobbling and strutting at like 600 millimeters. And you're like, oh, I want to get that shot. And even whitetail and mule deer and elk getting shots like of them bugling with the smoke coming out of his mouth. And you never think you're going to be the one to get that shot, until it happens. And it's like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah. And then those birds hung out, and then yeah, like two more came in, started strutting with them. I think it was two more. Started strutting with them, and then two boss toms. I think it was like two. Was it three?
Three.
Three boss toms came in. You could tell because when the three boss toms came in, all the other toms just
gone.
I mean, they boogied out and they worked out to probably 100 to 200 yards within like a, you know, two minute span, and they were still gobbling, but. And then all the birds worked out, and I was just like, all right, like, we can try it again.
Yeah.
Welcome to turkey.
Yeah. And that's how it was. And I missed. And as those turkeys left, then the three dominant toms, if you want to say, kind of worked up and over the ridge. I was like, dude, I'm getting out. Like, Damon has video of me. I was crawling on my hands and knees to try and go find the arrow, because it's like, all right, these birds really aren't that far. If they don't see me, I stay quiet, go get the arrow, come back. Maybe we can call them back in and try and get another shot.
Yeah, because the other birds only worked probably 200 yards out, you know, so, and they never came into the decoy, so maybe on their way to roost or something, they might be coming back. We were pretty desperate, honestly.
I can confidently say I will never bring one arrow into a blind ever again.
Oh my gosh.
Ever again.
I learned that the hard way. Several years back, I was hunting this piece of ground, and I set my blind up right on a fence line, and these birds were coming right on the other side of the fence line, and they were at like maybe 6 or 7 yards, something like that. And I'm like, what are the chances I'm gonna hit that fence, you know? So I haul it back, and I take the shot, my arrow hits the fence, arrow deflects off, so they turn and start walking slowly away, and I emptied my quiver.
Oh my gosh.
Because I knock one quick, and then I'd come to full draw, and I didn't have time to range or anything, so I'm like, okay, I'm guessing it at this yard. This yardage, right? Shoot, hit low, knock another arrow. Now they're like 10, 15 yards out further, taking a wild guess, shoot over the back.
Yeah.
So I literally shot an entire 5-arrow quiver at this bird and never hit him once. And I never found any of the arrows either, because we were in a, it was a pasture, and the landowner hadn't, put the cattle into that area yet, so the grass was super long and hadn't been cut down, so like it was just this long grass. I was like, there's no chance of finding any of these arrows. I lost every one of them.
That's the type of like superstitious thing that like I do.
Yeah,
my whole story is like my turkey hunting experiences. If I have an arrow knocked and like fully ready, quiver's ready, like got a second arrow for follow-up, I won't see nothing.
Yeah,
that's what we're just talking about. I think we did this last year, like my superstition is leave them all in the quiver, throw it on the ground, don't even be ready, because then I feel like I always see stuff. And I think we did too. We saw that bearded hen. She just didn't come in close enough. But yeah, one arrow. I mean, that must have been the luck, dude.
Dude, like, it was so
like
bad.
God knew. He's like, yeah, well, I'm going to test you today.
That's what I said.
He tested my patience for sure.
That's what I said is the only reason that happened to us is because we only brought one arrow. If we had two bows and many arrows to kill a double, it never happens like that.
Dead. Nope. Mm-hmm. Outside anyway.
Yeah, so
it's not over, right? Everyone keeps asking, how long you staying? What's your plan? And bear hunting's open in Montana, right? And it's like, gosh, I want to get back and chase my favorite animal to hunt. Mm-hmm. But then it's like making this video, being here with the boys, meeting you guys, it's like so worth it to be out here. So say it right now, I am not leaving until I kill a tom in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, it's if it was a whitetail, a mule deer, an elk, I would get leaving without killing because it's like just to get the opportunity, right? But with like turkeys, it's like you almost feel this like guilt of like, it is just a turkey. Like I should be able, like you question yourself as a hunter.
How can I not kill it?
And that goes back to like, it's just the quote unquote, it's just a turkey phrase because you think like, oh, it's just a bird. Like it's just a stupid bird. I should be able to kill it. Like I'm a bow hunter. I know how to shoot my bow. Like it's just a bird. I'm not going to get nervous and miss. Like once I get an opportunity, I should just be able to shoot it. And then it happens.
That's very much not how it is.
So like that's the biggest thing for me, even hunting, being a resident here, when it's like, you know, week two, week three, and I haven't killed one. And I'm like, why are these things defeating me? Like, aren't they supposed to be this dumb, stupid bird that people talk about?
Yeah.
You know,
Like but they're on the highway all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And like deer season, they're under your stand, like 10 yards and just putting around. But turkey season, all of a sudden they're some smart creature that you can't avoid.
I feel like you get one of two ways where like what you guys had, where they kind of hang up out back. Otherwise they do come and pound the decoys, and then you're sitting there like, you know, your bow arms going every which way trying to like track them down. You're waiting for them just to settle for a second. It's like, it's tough. It's
which then tougher. When you draw back, every second feels like an eternity.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean,
you're just waiting.
Draw for a million years.
Yeah.
I just always black out. So I'm like, what just happened?
That's what I was telling Damon after I shot. I was like, dude, I don't remember a thing. Like, I do not remember what happened. Like, I remember drawing back, and then it's just, like, black. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what anything else happened. Like, I don't know how, like, obviously, it's subconsciously. That's why you practice so much, because then your subconscious mind does what you repeat and practice every day. Mm-hmm. I remember drawing back, and then it's like, I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, I just missed the bird. I don't know how I drew. I don't know how I settled. I don't know how I like shot. I don't know, fall through, nothing. It was crazy, dude.
Everything deleted.
It did.
Did you guys go out yesterday evening?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, so we went back to the same spot and we had a couple toms come, but they didn't come as close. They probably stopped at like 50, 60 yards.
And we were thinking that's probably the same birds.
And we're thinking it's earlier. The birds that were there in the morning because they looked at the decoys and were like, I'm not feeling that now. Mm-hmm. It was two birds, so I'm assuming it was the first two that we called in. I'm assuming they circled back. But and then I was, and that's the thing, is you get into a spot, and with turkeys it's so like kind of unpredictable because like one day you can have birds on top of you, like they're beating it up and doing whatever, and then you think like, oh, it'll always be like that, and you can go back like we did today and it was dead.
Didn't see a single time.
Yeah, like the closest gobble was 400 or 500 yards. And where did those birds go? What are they doing right now? We have no clue. Mm-hmm. And those same birds.
And that was the conversation last night, was it's like, obviously with a couple spots that unfortunately hit the fan before I got here, it's like, I don't want to leave birds to go find different birds on a different place where we have to get permission. Yeah. Or
it's like messing up a mule deer stock or missing a whitetail. Like you want to go back to where that happened to almost relive that insane moment that you fucked up on, hoping it happens again. And then sometimes it doesn't happen. It
didn't happen. But we still got the whole trip. I mean, and Ricky just gave us some good news. Maybe we might be going out to get a double tomorrow here.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we can do.
See what we can figure out.
It'd be pretty fun to get out tomorrow and see if we can make something happen.
Yeah.
And, I guess that I hadn't planned on hunting till Monday, so that means I'm going to be scrambling tonight to get all my gear.
That's the best night. Yeah, you like Griffin.
Yeah.
Is this the spot, or is this? Yeah, I was gonna say that spot in May, that's where I was like, that's the biggest blackout moment for me. Like, was when I had the mosquitoes all over me, and I'm like tucked in, and this bird works in, and I just happen to look. He's already beating the decoy up in like 2 seconds. This draw, done, dead. Like, it was so fast. Yeah. But yeah, there's some birds out there.
There's a few.
There's a couple. Yeah, there's a couple. They've been, we've had some blinds out there for the past week now. And then Damon came out with me when we set up the one blind. Johnny set up another one. But in any case, yeah, we'll see if we can make something happen tomorrow. That'd be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome. It's been hot with you, too. We met you a couple mm-hmm. days ago. We can get out and make something happen.
That'd be sweet. Yeah. I was kind of wondering, like, when I think Damon was the first to tell me that you guys weren't going to go until next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? Like, really? Like, the right now, it's yeah, I mean, yeah. Good, though, because right now it has been hot. Up until, I'd say Monday and Tuesday have been kind of dead that I've been seeing on my drive in. And even yesterday, today I did see some birds when I was driving in, but then of course you guys didn't. So,
right.
Yeah. I just don't even want to, you know, with Damon filming Joey here this week, you know, we obviously wanted to give him enough ample opportunity to get his bird. And then, so we just planned it out, you know, so that there would be a good cushion there. And I don't even want to put myself in that position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, it'd be great to go out and kill a bird and it'd be fantastic, right? But then it's like, well, we really want to get it on film.
Yeah.
You know, we really want to get footage and we want to get assets and content for Vapor Trail and for, you know, Dialed and Prime and all that. So it's just like, I'm just going to not go. I'm just going to, you know. Be patient, and we know the birds are there. And I know Nathie was a little bit.
Stop dropping the name, man.
Yeah. the owner was a little bit bummed out that none of us were hunting out there on the opener. But
was he bummed? I thought he was just like trying to, you know, plan around.
Which isn't a bad thing to hear from a landowner, I suppose.
No, maybe that's the case. You know what I mean? But he wants us to kill some birds, so.
Yeah, my biggest thing is just, like, dude, get your kid a bird. And then, like I said yesterday to you, like, I'm so far back in this line, I don't care. I'll keep, you know, running and gunning on public. I'll be up doing public land this weekend.
Well, it'll be me, you, and Rory next Thursday.
Oh, my God. Let's hope we're all tagged out. So, here's another arrow. Here's another arrow.
Oh, jeez, shot fired. Oh,
I love it. It's funny because, like, I always forget public land is an option. Like, my friend hit up public the other day, and he missed a bird at, like, 10 yards.
Oh, man.
You know, so, like, public land is an option for us. But the biggest thing, like you mentioned, is we're trying to get, you know, content for these companies, which requires 200 to 600 millimeter lenses and all this stuff
that I personally don't want to pack.
We're packing this stuff, you know, 200-400 yards, and it seems like hell, you know, imagine doing that
on public.
But that's like the huge thing is like when you start to film your hunts at like you know, a high level, like if you have a camera guy or even self-filming with like a lot of self-filming equipment, is like your hunting opportunities, it's a little bit more challenging, you know, because if we were shotgun hunting and we weren't filming, we'd be pretty mobile, and we'd be able to get some work done quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get the shot on camera and it all comes together, it works out great and everybody's happy. So
we're just making a story for Dial. I missed on purpose.
I brought Joey to HQ, Dialed HQ, before season started, and we were talking to Taylor about the video. So this video will be a Your Hunt video. So Dial creates those videos, like hunting captures, and they can be anything from like a 30-second iPhone clip to we did a 30-minute whitetail film with them, like a hunt recap. So we're doing a Your Hunt, and we were talking with him, and you know, when we told him we were trying to decapitate a turkey with a bow, he was like, oh boy, like that's a challenge. And I remember thinking like, oh, like it's a challenge, but we got this. And now I'm really starting to think about what he was saying. But he's like, it's always good when there's a story. And that is true. Like opening, you know, we could have gone in there and shot one and it would have been great. And we'd probably be on this podcast talking about how fun it was to kill a turkey with a decapitating broadhead. But now it like leads to a different story and it leads to a different hunt.
It does. And on the way here, phone calls, texting, whenever I was like, dude, I want to work for it. I told Damon and Griffin, I want to work for it, right? It's like, I absolutely do, but opening day, like that nice 9-inch beard looked pretty nice.
When you decide to bow hunt turkeys, there's going to be a challenge and there's going to be a story.
Absolutely.
no matter what.
It's just like Inform the Storm that first day.
Yeah, I
purposely
can't.
Blew that stock because yeah. What kind of story is that?
Right, yeah. Yeah, it seems to be a common theme with everyone I film. Yeah. Yeah, this is like, and we probably won't even hunt tonight because there is a storm rolling in right now. So even, it's like,
oh, is there?
I feel like maybe I'm the guy that brings the storm or the bad juju.
It's a good time to be driving around, though.
I know, and that's why that's what I was telling Joey.
55% chance the rest of the night.
If it's like if it's a light rain, we might go hop in that one spot because
worms and whatnot.
Yeah, birds like to feed.
55% I feel like is when the weatherman's like, shit, I don't know.
Yeah. It looks pretty gloomy out there.
Yeah,
I don't know what's gonna happen.
50%.
Yeah. It should at least get some birds out so you can see. Worst case you get a nice night's of sleep, right? You know, get ready for tomorrow.
No, we don't do that, dude. No, we, sleep is for when you're tagged out.
That's or when you're true. 40.
Or when you're 40. Yeah. Yep.
I can help you with tomorrow's hunt if you're going.
When you got Griffin as a friend, too, he's a night owl. He'll
keep you
up. Do you think I should bring arrows? Maybe. I'm just going to bring one.
Maybe a couple more.
Maybe I'm telling you more. Right now, I'm not going to film anyone that only brings one arrow. And I'm not pointing fingers at you, Joe. It's more I'm not gonna condone bringing one arrow. Like, we need to have like a pack of them when we're turkey hunting these suckers.
I'll have a quiver full.
Well, good.
Yeah,
well, good.
Yeah. How do you bring those bullheads out? Because I mean,
yeah, we were thinking that. We just put them in the package.
We put them in the package, and I have my
that's what I
FHF gear backpack, the EDC pack, the new one they just made, and I just stuff it in there along with the lens and some other things and stuff.
Otherwise, that's not going in the quiver.
No,
they make a quiver deal. It's like a plastic sleeve,
cap, I think, right?
And then it comes to a point, and then you stick that up into your quiver. Yeah. But they're kind of, I don't know, they're not that great. I don't know if they still make them yet or not. I had some, but they're kind of flimsy plastic, and they fall apart and break and.
Yeah.
Whatever. So it's just like, you just, like you said, I mean, the best case for carrying your broadheads is the package they come in.
Right.
Yeah. So you just keep them in there and you're good to go.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
Cover up the plastic opening with a little yelping in the morning. Just.
Yeah.
Yelp, yelp, yelp.
That's your fly down sequence.
I do that when I drink energy drinks in the tree stand. I'll just like put my grunt tube in my mouth and, you know. Right. Monsters open.
Unleash the beast, man.
Seriously.
That's funny. So, well, that, you know, it's a bummer to hear that, but at the same time, I'm glad. It seems like you got good spirits about it. Yep. And to Damon's point, like, the good Lord apparently wanted us all to hunt together.
Yep.
And so hopefully we can make that happen tomorrow. And then we'll see what happens there. Regardless, we get to watch the world wake up and
and
enjoy. I mean, honestly, like, it's just crazy, God's creation, like, when you get to witness it, when you're in a turkey blind as the sun comes up. It's just incredible.
Amen, dude.
Just everything when it comes to, I mean, so, I mean, sometimes, you know, the pheasants can be kind of annoying. Like, you're hearing all these cute, and then you just hear a pheasant crow or whatever, but... or even the sandhill cranes sometimes get annoying and they just keep
When I first heard it, we don't have many of those, at least I don't think we do. Correct me if I'm wrong. When I first heard it, I was like, ooh, gobble. I was like, wait, that doesn't sound right.
It's actually funny you say that because, like, when you're in a turkey blind hunting turkeys, everything starts to sound like a turkey. Like, we'll hear
this,
like,
guy is bad about it.
We'll
you hear that?
And that's the thing is, like, I can't hear something that sounds like a turkey and be like, oh, was that a turkey? Maybe not. And just, like, you know, shove it off. I'm like, that was maybe a turkey. You know, and I get like,
this morning, aggressive. Like 2 hours ago, we had this squirrel jumping through the bushes and we couldn't see it yet. And he's like, dude, hold on. Like, that's definitely turkey. A couple minutes it's later, bad. This squirrel jumping through the leaves.
He's dragging his fan.
Because the last thing I want happen to us is one of those suckers slips in, not saying a peep, because they haven't been gobbling all morning. I'm like, I swear, if we're sitting here and one just comes running in and we don't have anything ready.
Exactly. Like, he went and dropped Griffin off to work, and I sat by myself in the blind for a while. And they weren't making a peep all morning. You're talking about them being quiet. I just peeked my head out the window, and there's eight Jakes going across the open field out there. And I, if I wouldn't have looked out there, I had no idea they were there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, what are the odds that Tom's going to do that? But they see the decoys and come into it.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to get.
That that was mine. That was a, what do you call that, a super senior Jake, the one I shot, the last one I shot. Like, that's exactly it. Came in silent, and I was just in hell because it was all mosquitoes. And he was right there already beating it up. It's like, oh, wow. God damn it. Like,
yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. They get up quick.
Yeah, I hate when they're I hate when they're quiet. It like defeats the whole purpose of like turkey and I was chasing turkeys.
Yeah, I was telling Damon, I'm so happy and I feel so blessed I got to experience that thing. They're the Nat Geo is what we call it. I'm gonna call it that forever now. But now it's like every single experience that I have turkey hunting from here on out is gonna go off of the insane day that I had yesterday.
How so was that? That first gobble, like when it ripped off.
Like I've heard gobbles in Montana, like right. Merriam's. It is different, I'll tell you that right now. Like an Eastern turkey going off, and like it carries so much more than a Merriam does.
I feel like you can feel it. Like when they're 70 yards and they just let one rip.
How about 8 yards for an hour, dude? Like you can really feel that. And that's gotta be hell. Was amazing. Like you asked the question, how was it? It was like coming here, I never hunted turkeys before. I was like, all right, I'm going to go hunt some birds with some of my best friends, right? It's going to be a blast. Yeah. Now it's like, I'm going to hunt birds. Like, love you guys. Yeah. I'm so excited I get to hang out with you, but I want to go hunt turkeys now.
That feeling is all I search for now. Like, I just want to feel that the thunder chicken, you know, right? When they let loose.
Right, so that adrenaline like, oh. To a point of blackout stage I almost had, right? I was like, I have never – elk hunting, I would say that when I first started bow hunting, getting into elk, and, like, your bull's bugling, like, 50 yards from it. Like, you're shaking bad. Yeah. Right. And I was like, as I mature in a hunter and I get to be a better hunter and I have these experiences that shape me to the hunter I am, right? You start to settle down and you get more experience with the situations that you have.
Yeah.
And toss that out the window for some reason for a bird, man. Cause when they came in, I felt like a rookie again. And I, like you said, you chase that feeling. Mm-hmm. I want to feel that again. And I know I won't ever feel it to that extent. Like I will absolutely get that adrenaline. But first time ever, first time you ever see. Like the stuff you see on social media, birds coming in like to a T. I like heart racing, blackout state, adrenaline, pure like, holy crap, I'm here right now. Like totally in the moment. Absolutely unreal.
It's gross.
It never changes. It never changes.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And then, well, we talked about this in the last episode too, where when we were talking with Frank about, you know, things, you know, mistakes and things that people make. And we were talking a lot about practice, right? But I was like, and not to put anybody down and say it's not worth practicing, but it's like as soon as that bird's in front of you and you're coming to full draw, suddenly you've never shot a bow in your life.
Literally. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like it's the craziest thing. And again, for such a goofy-looking, wacky animal. Like I was thinking about when you guys were talking about them running in, like watching two turkeys run in, like, you know, a lot of times you see them running sideways like this, right? And they just kind of skirt along really fast. But when they're coming at you, and they're like kind of flopping and rolling.
Beards are going like this.
They just look like the goofiest thing. Just like a tiny little feathered dinosaur flying in on you. They're just goofy little animals. But then when you get your hands on one and you look at all that iridescent coloring on the feathers and you're just like, man, it's unreal.
God's creation, man. Beautiful.
Heck and especially when you're looking at photos of like they're like extreme detail. You're like, like I was looking at them and I'm like, well, like, what even is that? Like you see their eyes, you know, just going crazy as they're gobbling and the snoot is like doing that. And yeah, it's, you're like, what is that?
You know, it's amazing. Yeah. Like
why does that ugly thing, quote unquote ugly, they're beautiful, but like, why does that get me just like torn apart, you know? And then, yeah, it's just so weird.
It's just, yeah, it's crazy. I love it though.
That's awesome.
Love it after one trip.
That's awesome.
After one day.
Sorry, not even a trip. Trip's not over yet. One day of turkey hunting, I'm addicted.
Yeah.
I've never hunted elk once, and I think I always say that. Like, this is Minnesota's closest animal.
My buddy has said that.
Yeah, being able to communicate and feel that, and I imagine that's how I will feel when I do get my chance, like, just feeling that. Like, I know I'm just going to be a ball of crap, dude. Like, when I'm out west.
So. When I think that's the thing is I had never experienced it either, right? So like I get nervous elk hunting. I get really nervous, right? But I never experienced a turkey with a big old beard coming in and strutting at 8 yards in front of you. So it's like a whole new ballpark for me, right?
Yeah.
And I, yeah, loved it.
It's fun. It bit you. Because I always thought forever, I'm like, that bird's so stupid. I'm like, I'm not going. Like,
that's why? That was my mindset.
Yeah, now
it's just a bird.
Welcome to it. We're rookies.
Yeah, to do one with a bow is a pretty big accomplishment. It's not easy. You know, like I said, I hunted them with a bow for a very long time, and mm-hmm. I missed a lot. And I finally got fed up and brought the shotgun out, whacked one, and then right back to the bow.
Yeah, that's why I feel blessed to even have the opportunity that I had opening day. Yeah, I missed the bird. All right, it is what it is. I'm not going to dwell on it. It's not going to help my future shot. Hopefully I take tomorrow, the next day, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that the first time I ever went out turkey hunting, ever, with the bow, I got to experience what Damon Wolf is calling Nat Geo, right? And then I got a shot on a bird to decapitate it, missed it, but whatever. Like, I wouldn't change that for the world.
No, it's great.
Yeah. So real quick, we're going to probably wrap it up here. We're just about hitting an hour, but tell us a little bit about any, like, your upcoming hunts. I know you said you got a bear hunt coming up here, and what else you got going on this season?
Yeah, so I put in for New Mexico. Didn't draw. That just came out yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't draw my Montana elk tag I put in for. But I got bear hunting in Montana with my buddy Gabe Walsh. I would say he's my hunting pal. Right when I get back, like, I think I'm going to take a day or two to get everything packed up, go get some meals, charge everything up, get my camera gear together, and I will be in the bear woods. I'm not kidding you guys, probably from when I get back until first week of June.
Nice.
So I got Montana bear that I'm going to try to get Gabe and I's, and also my buddy Jay, my dad and little brother. That's kind of like the main people. I'm like, all right, let's kill Montana bears, right?
Do you hunt in the Bridgers, or where do you go?
I go.
Can you talk about that, or you don't have to?
Yeah, I go a little bit more west. Okay. That's kind of more central over by Bozeman. I go more west than that.
Okay.
So Montana is like, I'm going to shoot my Montana bear first, and then my buddy Gabe and I and my father, we are going to go to Idaho, I think, second and a half week of May, and hunt for 10 days, actually. So his buddy Alex is potentially going to come and film that hunt, because we're going to go on there for 10 days, like deep backcountry bear hunt, buy wolf tags, the whole ordeal. And after that hunt, hopefully we're successful. We're blessed with a couple bears. I get back, and I'm going to Saskatchewan, Canada. I don't know. I actually don't know if I can say that yet, so I won't.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a couple bear hunts, Montana and Idaho, and I'm really fired up.
Yeah.
Super, super excited to go, you know, to both those states, go hunt bears. And, you know, it's not too far, right? It's not far at all either. So what we're going to do, we're going to bounce. I'll say it. I don't even care. Like, try to do it if you want to. We're going to bounce the border back and forth. So we're going to have Montana taken, Idaho taken. We got a really good spot that we're just going to kind of bounce back and forth. We got a couple of basins on the Idaho side we want to go to, and we got a couple on the Montana side, and they're not close to each other, but it's like, you know what, let's go hike 8 miles to get to this one, mm-hmm. come back up, recoup on our stuff, go to the pickup, and then go somewhere else, get all the other things, and go to the other side, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, not only are we going to hunt the one state, we're going to have the other state right next to us. And that's another thing about Montana. I wish that we could hunt wolves during the spring. Idaho, you can hunt wolves in the spring. Montana, you can't, unfortunately. So we're going to be doing that as well. But yeah, got those.
We've talked about doing that in the Dakotas before.
Yeah.
Get a North Dakota and South Dakota tag. And
yep. Right on the border there.
Bounce both borders and, you know, we'll see, whack one in one state and then be like, all right, let's go to the other one.
Yep. And then for summer, I'm putting in for Montana archery antelope. I really hope I draw that again. I got a pretty decently sized buck last year. That was absolutely amazing. Chasing those goats with a bow is a whole nother level of hunting too.
Yeah, something I've never done.
Oh my gosh, I loved it. The first year doing it. And then I would probably say I'm gonna put in for the Wasatch. I'll say I don't really care. Putting in for the Wasatch West, down in Utah. Trying to go get a
for mule deer?
Yeah, for mule deer in the first season. So like I think it starts August 16th and goes until whenever. I won't be in there past September 1st, but just going there deep and trying to get a filmer for that one and go do that. I'm going to hit that pretty hard. And then it's just, you know, Montana elk, Montana mule deer. I guess I can put in, I think Arizona mule deer is still open. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think so. I think elk's closed, but mule deer might still be open. I'm going to put in for that. And yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much Montana turkey, I guess, now,
Yeah.
Go try and kill a turkey in Montana. Yeah, man. Oh, because we have Easterns up north. And I didn't know that until a few days ago. So we have Easterns on like kind of the northwest part of the state over by like Kalispell, Columbia Falls, Polson area.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to go chase some more Easterns when I get back to Montana.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, just general season stuff and, you know, just go after it.
That's
actually just remembered. I can talk about it. So I'm going to, I'm going to Northern Saskatchewan with Scree to go hunt bears over bait with my bow.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
And that's from May 29th. I fly out of Bozeman, get into Saskatchewan that day, and then we drive like 5 hours or 6 hours up to the spot. And we're staying in a little, like a cabin almost, but it's an Airbnb cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And us and a couple of the hunters and filmers are staying there. And that's like my hunt of the year. Like, I'm just fired up to get in there and see bruisers that have been, you know, because they say bears are up there like it's New York City and in that thick stuff. And I think that's the hunt I'm most looking forward to, is to shoot one with my bow.
They're big up there, too.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I wish we could get Rory to take one out of the Scree book
catalog.
Take your employees out on hunts sometime. Well,
it would have been New Mexico if we, you know, grew, right?
None of us drew New Mexico.
No, you didn't draw it.
Dang.
No.
Nope. Not one of us.
No.
Somehow. I feel like a lot of people didn't draw that.
No, I had I have a friend of mine in New Mexico. Her entire family drew, and she's the only person that didn't draw. So
that's
she's
tough.
Just got to watch her family on this year. Wow. I was like, oh my gosh. Bummer.
I had some high hopes, though, really, because Adrian, he went back to back years.
Oh, do you know if he drew this year? I know those guys always apply.
I don't know, but they, like, this guy we know locally, you know, he's gone back to back years of non-res.
My gosh.
Yeah.
And his crew.
Yeah.
Two other all guys. Of them.
They got back to back. Now, this year, it's like, I don't know if they did, but I mean, none of us did. So
crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a lot of fun stuff out there. We'll be hunting whitetails.
But I was already talking to Damon about that. After being out here and seeing how many stinking deer are here, I want to come hunt a whitey out here.
Please do. They're boring, man.
Because I've never tree stand hunted in my life. Yeah, I've never gotten into a tree stand before. So, like this is all new to me, right? I've only been on the first time I ever left Montana to hunt was last year with Griffin in Nebraska, and that was a horrible hunt.
Yeah.
I hate that state.
We rock saddles around here.
Yeah.
We've really embraced the saddle around here lately.
Yes, sir.
I was kind of a hater on that for a while, but I love it now.
Mm-hmm.
So mobile.
It's awesome.
It's so mobile. You just pack it all away.
Well, especially like because you have pretty consistent back problems, and so and so seriously, it I mean, an all day sit in a regular tree stand is difficult to do, but when you're in a saddle, it's just
does the saddle really not hurt your back at all?
It is quite a bit more comfortable. All day does get a little bit, like I did a couple of those last year. I'm like, whew, this is a not so much on the back, but it's just like maybe the knees, the feet.
Yeah, if I sit or stand all day, my knees start cramping. Like I got bad knees. So like if I'm sitting in that car, I had to pull over like on the side of the interstate. Like walk because my knees get so tight.
That's the nice thing with the saddle though, because you can do one of these deals.
Yeah,
you just like push out on the tree and you just.
That's I would probably like that a lot better.
My problem is when I'm sitting in the tree or when I'm sitting in a stand, you know, it's like I start to get a little lazy and then I kind of start to slouch, and then it's like and then you go back to like, you know, trying to sit up straight and then you're straining your muscles, so it's like this back and forth thing. And then by the end of the night, I can't walk, you know? Yeah, so then it's like, at least in the saddle, you know, and then the same thing too, with like an all day sit, I'm not afraid to just like stick my knees up against the tree and then just put my head up against the tree and take a nap.
Yeah. Cause you're all tied in.
Yeah.
So if you fall, like it's going to catch you.
I will mention, I also hate heights.
So
like hate them.
Oh, you don't have to get that height. Like you can literally just tuck in a couple like sticks and you're good.
I shot my Booner at 12 feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't have to even, like, as tall as the ceiling, not even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, yeah, you don't have to go very high. The saddle, like, I could actually, the nice thing is with that bridge, like, you can fall asleep just, like, tuck in there. Yep. And that's when I woke up last year and there's an 8-pointer just right there. I'm like, oh my God. Come on, man. Like, put the G5 in the ground. I'll jump on it myself. Mm-hmm. Like, that was embarrassing, but
saddles are comfy. Saddles are sweet because you can, like, go anywhere around the tree, especially, like, if you're filming, too. Yeah. You don't have to worry about not getting the shot if you're in a fixed stand. They're really cool.
I like that you can put the tree in between you and the animal, though, too. Like, especially, like, with bear hunting. Even if you're, like, you could even be super low to the ground. But then you can
put yourself set up it.
So the bait is on the other side of the tree, and then all you gotta do is just peek around.
I like that. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's kind of a cool idea. I don't know who I was talking to, Jeremy Dinsmore, the Antler Up podcast, and we were talking about saddle hunting, and I was gonna be bear hunting in the Boundary Waters. He was like, "Dude, use your saddle and just get up like 3 or 4 feet in the tree, but you'll be nice and comfortable. You'll be behind the tree." So I did that for a couple of days. It was a cool idea. It worked out well, except that the baiting up there is, well, that's it's a whole nother, we won't even get into that.
It's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, well, awesome. This has been awesome. Thanks for driving all the way here from Montana to be on the podcast and then go turkey hunting while you're here. I mean, that's great idea.
Just for it's the been podcast. Fun. Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you for the invitation and talking to you boys. It was great to meet you. And I'm sure I'll be back here again eventually. We'll do another pod and we'll hang out and do some more stuff for sure.
What about TAC? Are we going
to
see it?
Yeah, I'm going to. Personally, I really want to go to Salt Lake. I'll go to that one probably by myself, but I'm working Scree at the Montana TAC. I don't know if it's Red Lodge or Big Sky this year. I never really caught on to that. And then also Terry Peaks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if any of you guys are going to any of those. But
I'm hoping to go to Terry Peak, but I'm not sure.
So yeah, we'll
don't
see
know yet. We'll it's see. They're going to be that one or Snow River, Michigan. We'll see if I have to.
Is that the UP?
Yeah.
I think I'll make a trip out here this summer too and come see the boys. So
yeah, man.
I'll probably go to Terry Peak. It was fun last year.
It was.
I'll probably go.
It was a blast.
It is. It's hard to watch everybody have fun and
that's just
it's like the Mile High deal that just happened last weekend and then the you were talking about it the other day, the Western
Hunt Expo.
Yeah. Like I want to get out there so bad. I almost went. Not this last year, but the year before, with my buddy Rick, and it's just it's just one of those things.
After
like lodging and everything like that, it's kind of like
after going. If I don't go to the Hunt Expo, I'll have FOMO. Like definitely after being at it once, I have to go now every year.
Yeah, is that the one in Utah?
That's the one in Salt Lake. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But awesome.
That'd be a good one. So, but yeah, man, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it. You know, I was just thinking about it. Yesterday I was like, man, you know, while he's here, we could do it. It's so much better to do it in person anyways.
Absolutely.
And so I had very little expectations. I figured you got the bug and you'd be really focused on turkey hunting, but I was excited to hear you guys were cool to come in and do this today. So I appreciate you taking the time out of the turkey hunting day and talk about your story and you know, who knows, hopefully we can get out and hunt tomorrow too.
So that's right. God's plan.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Ricky.
Amen.
Well, you can find the video version of this episode on the Vapor Trail YouTube channel, so make sure you head on over there. Give us a like, subscribe, and hit that bell so you can be up to date on all things archery. And, of course, if you're listening, give us a rating and a review. Only 5 stars will do. And with that,
we're going to pack up our bows, a couple arrows, and go to the blind.
One arrow.
Go to the blind.
Be in the blind.
Have a great day, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stokerize branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.